Breeze look deep, covered, comes back Kamara. Made a man miss. Salvin Kamara across midfield, still on his feet. Kamara's got a bunch of room and some blockers. Hurdling a blocker at the 25. Inside the 50. What a run by Kamara, who's all the way in for a touchdown.
This is High Motor by BetMGM. Andrew Doughty and Chase Kitty on Thursday morning, Thursday, May 13th, the morning after the NFL schedule release. The week one lines are available on BetMGM.com. Just navigate to BetMGM.com, click NFL at the top. Those were posted, I think actually before the ESPN special. Yeah, because the week one schedule was released before, and then we had tons of leaks after that. So those week one games were posted yesterday afternoon, on Wednesday afternoon. They were posted without the Packers-Saints game. Then that game was later posted. Saints minus 2.5 at home. That's the late afternoon. I think that's the Fox America's game of the week, the late afternoon game on Sunday, September 12th. I was kind of surprised it was posted. Packers' win total hasn't been put back yet. They have put back the Broncos' win total and then the Lions, Vikings, and Bears. We're sitting exactly 2 weeks after that initial Adam Schefter report that removed the Packers' win total, all the NFC North win totals, some division totals, and then also the Broncos amidst those rumors. That one is still off the board for the Packers, despite the reports of a huge offer and some progress with that relationship. So all the week one lines are up there. 31 of the 32 win totals are up there. All the division odds are back up there. NFC conference odds, all that kind of stuff. So those week one lines on BetMGM.com. Tons of new promotions this week. You can see those on the homepage or click the promotions tab. That top menu bar is over to the right-hand side. Little icon that says promotions. Ping us on Twitter at HighMotorPod. If you can't find something, if you have a question about a promotion, we'll try to answer it or at least point you in the right direction. What matters from Wednesday night? What matters from the NFL schedule release? Because there's so much information coming out, and even though it was kind of leaked throughout the day with those week one games coming out and then various games leaked, piecing it together, even though it was leaked kind of throughout the day, it actually came over, 12 hours as opposed to that three-hour window on ESPN. It's always kind of tough to sort through the mess, and even though we have all the opponents ahead of time, sorting through that mess and picking out, what does and what doesn't matter with the schedule release. And that's how we're going to approach this. We're also going to get in some other stuff at the end. We're going to do a full episode on NFL win totals, what they mean now that we have a full schedule. This is something that we've talked about, I think, on at least two episodes, one right after the Super Bowl and then one a couple of weeks ago, circling back to it. So maybe we'll lead into that at the end of the show, but we'll do a full episode on that. For now, what matters from Wednesday night and what doesn't matter from the NFL schedule release? Anything burning with you that you want to start with?
When I was watching it, I think my first gut reaction was sort of reinforcing positions I've already had. There's so much with this schedule, like it's hard to really get into it after 12 hours, which is kind of why I think you and I want to break it up into this episode. Let's react. Let's talk more surface level. Let's give some first glance opinions and then really dive into it this weekend and do my homework and come back on Monday and like just, like a post Chipotle bathroom break, just dump everything out. Like just get it out. I think I look at San Francisco's schedule and I go, yeah, they're winning 10 games. Yeah, I was right to think that. You're always kind of, you don't know exactly when you don't know what the games are, it's hard to say confidently they're definitely going to go 12-5 because you don't know what the games are. How can you confidently say anything? But now that I know what the games are, yeah, they're winning 10 games. Like, that's going over. I look at the Giants, which was, I had like a little bit of a lean to the over there, and I think, yeah, they're probably winning 7 games. Like, I'm feeling more comfortable there. Just the things that I looked at before this week that I had positive feelings about, I think for the most part, I still feel that way.
Yeah, I think very generally speaking, it matters to actually look at the schedule. I know a lot of people will scream, why do we need a three-hour special? We already know the opponents ahead of time. It doesn't matter that much. No, it does matter. I think it matters just like from a processing standpoint. I just want to see it down on paper, on the screen. Yeah, we can look at opponents. I mean, those were determined, what, 4.5, 5 months ago. But there's something about actually seeing it on the screen. I think that matters a lot, especially like you said. I mean, you could place, you didn't place the Niners bet before the schedule came out, did you?
No, because I always feel like the payoff of making an early bet before you know the schedule is never as good as the risk is bad.
I don't think, I don't have a pull up in front of me. The Niners numbers did not change over the last, I mean, we first talked about it, I think, in a couple different capacities. After the J.J. Watt signing, we kind of like reset the table for the NFC West. And we also talked about it right after the Super Bowl. And then I think we circled back to it a few weeks ago. I don't think that number has changed since then, has it?
I don't think so.
I don't know if any number has changed. And we'll talk about that with the NFL win totals episode, either next episode or in a week or so.
It hasn't. Over 10, yeah. minus 140, under 10, plus 115.
And I'll go through and see if any of these win totals change. Off the top of my head, I don't think anything has. When the Packers one does come back, I'll be curious if, for example, if we know that Rodgers is coming back, if he agrees to some restructuring, I don't think that will change. Obviously, if he's traded, it will change. But there isn't that much movement in seeing. And when the schedule is released, because we already know the opponents, there isn't that much movement with that at all. A few things I have here that, there's one that I don't know really which bucket it falls into, whether it matters or whether it doesn't matter. But with this 17th game, you're now adding either a home or away game. And I can't decide how much it matters if that game is away or home, because, first of all, I don't think what doesn't matter is that home field advantage doesn't matter like it used to. Like, we know that. So maybe this kind of falls into both buckets of does and doesn't matter. Like, I don't think last year, this is something that we talked about going into the playoffs, for the first time, I believe, in NFL history, home teams finished below 500. It was like one game under 500. I think it was 126 and 127, something like that, or 127 and 128. I don't know if like that sub 500 mark for home teams should be used as like a, hey, look, home field advantage is completely dead. And I'd be surprised if anybody is truly arguing that with empty stadiums and very bizarre circumstances. We don't know how to account for any of that, so I'm just not going to try to make a conclusion based on that. I also don't believe it's nothing, because home teams struggled, like, by historical proportions. Going back to 2019, there's a really good article on The Ringer back in January talking about home field advantage, if you guys want to pull that up. They struggled, home teams struggled quite a bit in 2019, too. Like, they fell off a cliff. Their records scoring margin plummeted, so did yardage margin. Even 2018 was down a little bit. 2017 was down a little bit. 2016 was down a little bit. So, like, that is enough for me to say pre-COVID that home field advantage doesn't matter as much as we all probably think it does. Do you still subscribe to the 3-point betting line advantage for home field advantage, or have you kind of dropped that to 1.5, 2, 2.5 over the last 3 or 4 years?
I subscribe to it in that the market subscribes to it, and so I use it as a factor. But I don't know that I ever like fully bought into the idea that mathematically home field is worth 3 points. That's just kind of a thing that gets said. I think it's helpful in that home field is worth some sort of value that you commodify in some kind of way. But I would be hard pressed. I mean, different stadiums convey different home field advantages. Some teams are good on the road. Some things change year to year. So I don't know that I would have ever bought into that really hard. If I could circle back to the under 500 2020 COVID year thing, I agree with you that you should write that off. That you, grain of salt. You are correct to lay out that pre-2020 home field numbers were kind of slipping. But I definitely want to write off 2020 specifically. Just because, I mean, talk to college athletes, talk to professional athletes. Like anybody that covers sports probably is aware of this because we talk to so many athletes. The challenge is not playing in somebody else's stadium. The challenge is all of the other bullshit around it. The travel, breaking your routine, sleeping in a hotel in a different city the night before, not being around your family, not being able to go through your pregame routine. That's what messes with people. Because athletes, a lot of professional athletes are creatures of habit. The idea that you would have like all of this societal stuff that messes with your routines, the idea that you would have all these testing protocols that evens out the experience for both teams, I think is a huge reason why you see the downtick in home records. So that would be my guess. And then the other thing I would add in, talking about some teams are going to, you know, have 8 home games. Some teams are going to have 9 home games with the new scheduling format. What I wonder about is there going to be value to bet teams in terms of season win bets? Is there going to be value on betting teams that have 8 home games instead of 9 home games? Because I'm sure that's going to be a big talking point publicly. Like, up 9 home games, or up, they got 9 road games this year. I don't know. Do you really want to bet them? Like that kind of thing. That's the sort of thing that I think consistently creates value, is going against the grain in ways that publicly are talked about, but in reality probably don't have that much value.
Yeah, I think it does fall into both buckets. Like, I mean, we've seen declines in quote-unquote home field advantage over the years. Like, going, I mean, even just looking at this chart on the Ringer, like, we saw it in the early 90s. We saw it kind of again, like, around 99, 2000, 2001. And then again in the late 2000s, like 2006, 7, 8, 9, it went off a cliff briefly and then kind of decreased maybe half a point per year. So there's a reason why like the 3-point thing exists. So I think like it matters in that, take the Packers, for example, we were just talking about them. It matters that the Packers' 17th game is going to Kansas City and not hosting like the Raiders or the Broncos. Like that matters a lot. So in terms of what matters with the schedule release, we knew that whenever they released that 17th game, you know, a month ago or 2 months ago, like we knew that mattered. But I think it's also seen it on paper. I think that there's no doubt that playing your 17th game, not only on the road, but on the road in Kansas City against arguably the best team or the second or third best team in the NFL, that matters a lot. And then just kind of putting a lid on this conversation, what I think doesn't matter is this idea that is going to dramatically alter their season. I think if the Packers get Rodgers back, going out to Kansas City for a 17th game isn't going to change that much.
Hey, Andrew, how excited are you for the FCS championship this weekend?
ABC? ABC or ESPN?
ABC, I believe 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central for the peons that live out in Central Time.
Are they still having a full stadium down in Frisco?
I think they have half. I shouldn't even make fun of Central Time. This is the worst time to make fun of Central Time, because both teams are in Central Time and the game is played in Central Time. So I think my East Coast elitism has to take a back seat for this game. I've got an article that's coming out today. It might already be live by the time you listen to this podcast on the MGM blog, talking about how to bet the FCS championship game. The Cliff Notes version, which obviously you should go read the full thing for full context. But if I can give you the short version, it's, I guess I probably lean South Dakota State if you want to take a side, but I would probably bet the under here. Aside from the idea that it's just good to have unders in championship games, just as a general rule, like if you aggregated them all together, the under's probably paying you money. But I think it's more about the teams. I think these are, I don't want to get super armchair philosopher here, but these are, you know, FCS has been absolutely dominated by North Dakota State the last decade. JMU's gotten in several, 3 of the last 4 championship games as well. So, like, they're taking up a lot of the berths the last decade. I had a stat, like, 11 of the last 18 teams to play in the national championship game were JMU and North Dakota State. These guys have never won a national championship at Division I. And for South Dakota State's part, they've never even been in the game. So I am expecting a first half, particularly a first quarter, where these guys are really playing conservatively, feeling each other out. And then they are two good defense. These are teams that are good at the line of scrimmage. South Dakota State likes to run the ball. I think I've got a stat in there, like five of their last six games have gone under. Aggregate their playoff games together, four of the six have gone under. So I like the under. I like a lot of the trend lines. I think that's the play in this game. If you have to take a side, I probably take South Dakota State because the spread hasn't really come into effect in a lot of these championship games the last decade or so. So I guess I lean toward that, but I'm definitely playing the under.
A couple team-specific things that I think matters. Yes, we knew the opponents before, but seeing the order of those opponents I think matters quite a bit, especially in a couple of cases. Number one, I think the Bears' schedule matters a lot. It drives me crazy when usually after this or even before this when we have the opponents, you'll see things like this team has the hardest or easiest schedule because their opponents have a combined winning percentage of whatever from last year. It drives me absolutely crazy that people still do this. I don't know if they do this to get a rise out of people because the stat is completely worthless. I mean, if you're not using predictive metrics or using win totals at least, using what you think will happen in 2021 as opposed to what happens last year. I'm not sure if it's just laziness and citing last year's records and saying which teams have the easiest or hardest schedule because this team, their opponent went 6-10, this opponent went 7-9 last year, or if it just gets a rise out of people, but it's completely worthless. I think it's only going to cloud the picture if you fill your head with this team has the easiest schedule because their opponents went had a combined winning percentage of 471 or whatever last year. So what I did is I looked at the easiest and hardest schedules based on the BetMGM win totals because that has proven to be a more accurate predictor of what's going to happen that season as opposed to their winning percentage last season. With that, the Bears have the second hardest based on BetMGM win totals. I'm wondering here, like, where are the wins for the Bears, particularly on the road? I believe they have the hardest road schedule based on win totals in the league. And I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing where they're going to get 8-9 wins, which leads me to wonder, did taking Fields, and even if they were to only win 6-7-8, let's say even 9 games this year, because I don't think a 9-8 record is going to look all that great for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, if they didn't take Justin Fields, like, did taking Justin Fields buy Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy another year? Or would another underwhelming year force them into a change, force the Bears organization into a change before Fields taking over? That's why I think this schedule matters, because before this, I didn't see the wins. And now that it sets up, like, you go to Los Angeles, Cincinnati at home, at Cleveland, Detroit at home, at Vegas, Packers at home, Tampa, San Francisco, Pittsburgh before the bye. I don't see how the Bears are going to go into that bye 5-4, even 4-5. I think a realistic scenario for the Bears going to that bye is like a 3-6, maybe at best. So when if you put the Bears, let's say even generously at 4-5 going into the bye, I wonder which side that organization is going to take with this. Like, is it going to say, hey, we're at 3-6. Not that Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace will be fired in the middle of the season, but I think seeing this Bears schedule matters a lot because I'm just not seeing the wins. Do you have a lean or just an opinion on your side of where the Bears are going to get wins to the point of saying definitively, yes, we trust Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace with Justin Fields, or no, we don't trust Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace with Justin Fields moving forward?
Well, I think the key to them, and I don't think this is some groundbreaking theory that I have, but I think it's going to be the divisional games. Because right now, I have no idea what to do with any NFC North team, right? I don't know who Minnesota is. I don't know if they're going to get back to what they have been or if they're still going to be kind of wasting away in this, like, winning 40% of their games area. I don't really know what to do with Detroit. I liked some of the things they did in the draft. I really don't know what to do with Jared Goff. I don't think he's going to be very successful, so I'm guessing that's the fourth place team in the division. But it's hard to say for sure. And then, of course, we don't need to recover all of the stuff that's going on with Green Bay. So, I mean, they could go 1-5 in the division. They could go 5-1 in the division. I have no idea, but that's going to be, I think, the key to the answer to your question is how they do against Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit.
Second one here before we wrap with, I have a quick question for you on win totals. The Panthers' schedule, I think, matters a lot because unlike the Bears, I really love how the Panthers start. And I think they're another year or two from really having like their full organizational system in place, especially personnel-wise. I mean, they even admitted their coaching staff last year that they didn't really know, they didn't use these words, but it was essentially, we don't know what we're doing last year, as in 2020. We're going to kind of use this year to figure out where all of our guys fit, how to use them, etc. I mean, because they had a pretty dramatic overhaul within the organization, but I see some potential for early wins. I mean, you have the Jets and the Saints at home, Saints going through a quarterback change. We have no idea what to expect out of the Jets, and they go to Houston, to Dallas, they get Philly, Minnesota at home, go to New York at Atlanta. Gets a little bit harder then. You get like Arizona, Washington, Miami, New England, Buffalo, Tampa, New Orleans, Tampa. But the point being here is that I like how the Panthers start to a point where, like, I wonder if that's what this team needs and that's what Sam Darnold needs, because I think we forget that Sam Darnold is still extremely young. He had a horrible supporting cast in New York. It's obviously better in Carolina, but it's not like some dynamic, high-powered offense. I think that the Panthers' schedule matters a lot because I see the potential for early wins. And I almost see this as an opportunity for us to say, hey, maybe the Panthers now ahead of schedule with getting a couple of wins. Anything else on schedule before we wrap this up? I have a question for you on win totals here.
I think not necessarily on the schedule, but one of the things I enjoyed reading was ESPN has a breakdown of every team's schedule written. It's sort of like a jump-off page where it links to individual articles for every team, and each article is written by like the beat writer for that team on ESPN, which is great. Great insight. But it is kind of amusing because when you have it siloed off like that, and each, like, there's a different writer for each team, there's not like a holistic math that really goes into it. So for example, the NFC West, there's a little blurb for each team on this page. They have the Arizona Cardinals winning at least 7 games, but that could turn into 10. The Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. The 49ers are going to win the division. And the Seahawks are going to go 8-0 at home. So nobody's losing any games in that division ever.
Do you want to bet the Seahawks don't go 8-0 at home?
I'm willing to bet they don't. I get it, Seattle. I know you guys get after it, but I mean, come on. I don't think that's happened since 2012. I mean, and there's a lot of good information too. I'm obviously having fun with it. So it is a good resource for like lots of, you know, very grounded, like close to the team analysis. But some of the like if you zoom out, it's pretty amusing.
One question on win totals before we wrap this up. I mean, you said earlier, and you said this in the past, this is when you really start looking at win totals. And again, we're going to do a full dive into this on another episode. But to lead into that, how do you approach, like, what is your strategy for the initial assessments of win totals after the schedule has dropped? You talked about a lot about reinforcement. But, like, how does that change for you now? Like, does the schedule ever, like, really move you off? I'm talking about specifically like what you saw before the schedule was released. You mentioned the Giants. You mentioned the Niners. Any other teams that you were off or on? Does that really move the needle like that much for you, seeing that down on paper?
It can, yeah. And I think it comes down to how I sort of execute this process. Because once I feel like going into this part of the schedule, I might be right or I might be wrong, but I generally have opinions about who a team is at this point. I know who they've been. I know their history. I know, you know, did they just jump up and have one winning season last year? Or are they like consistently good? How do I feel about the coaching staff? How do I feel about the quarterback? How do I feel about the roster? How do I feel about the free agent signings? How do I feel about their draft? So all of that gives me, you know, some sort of color on a team, on how I feel. And then I'll go in and I'll look at the schedule and I'll say, okay, we got 3 camps. Probably going to win, probably going to lose, maybe. And I like to have that maybe as a robust section, right? Because anytime you're going into a sport like football and saying, yes, I definitely know the outcome of these 12 games before the season starts. Like, you're probably going to be wrong. So I like to be pretty generous with my maybes. And if I say, hey, they're going to win half these maybe games, they're going to lose half these maybe games. Half the maybes plus the wins, where does that put me? Two-thirds of the maybes plus the wins, where does that put me? I try to look at the variance. Like, what's, is this a team that's probably going to be about 10-6? You're 10-7, 11-6. Are they probably going to be in that neighborhood? Or you look at a team that's maybe like up and coming and has a younger squad. Is there a high degree of variance in how everything could turn out? Maybe they could go 5-12 or 12-5 or anywhere in between. So those are all the things I look at. And when I start to parse things down and really feel good about, yeah, I just think there's too many paths for this team to win 10 games for the 49ers or whatever it is, that's when I start to really lock in my bets. And if I feel like when I write down those maybes, if I feel like there's too many things that need to go my way, if I feel like there's too many dominoes that have to fall the right way, then that's where I stay away. And I think writing that down and seeing the wins and really playing with all the scenarios, yeah, that does have an impact on my ability to lock something in or ultimately stay away from something that I might have liked in the first place.
We'll be back on Monday. Episode will be there when you wake up on Monday. Ping us with any mailbag questions or anything else on Twitter at High Motor Pod. Check out those week one NFL lines, NFL win totals, everything else on BetMGM.com. Again, we'll talk about NFL win totals either next episode or in the probably the near future here. Also, check out those promotions I mentioned on BetMGM.com. Hope you all have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday. Thanks for dropping by High Motor by BetMGM. We'll be right back.